Not just ditto heads and right-wing nuts. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. A possible stroke suffered by a Senate Democrat, Tim Johnson of South Dakota. Live now from Washington, CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
When CBS radio affiliate WNAX in Yankton, South Dakota, heard this afternoon that Johnson suffered what his aides say looks like a stroke, WNAX went back to its recording of a conference call with the senator earlier today.
Provided a year ago.
And noticed that he started to have trouble talking. The Democrats' leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, has gone to George Washington University Hospital here in D.C. to be with Johnson. A stroke assessment team is checking Johnson, who's 59. Harley?
Should the worst happen, South Dakota's Secretary of State tells CBS News, if Senator Johnson proves unable to serve, a successor could be named by the Republican governor and control of the Senate could remain in GOP hands. The FDA says the prime E. coli suspect now at Taco Bell is the lettuce. Federal health experts looked first at the meat, then the green onions. Now the lettuce moves right to the top of the list. President Bush says after weeks of collecting input, which only started with the Baker-Hamilton report, there is a lot through which to sift, and he won't be rushed to decisions on new Iraq policy.
We're not going to give up. The stakes are too high, and the consequences too grave to turn Iraq over to extremists who want to do the American people and the Iraqi people harm.
CBS's David Martin already getting some hints.
A senior military officer directly involved in the deliberations over a new strategy said there probably will be a surge of U.S. troops into Iraq in an attempt to keep the lid on violence in Baghdad.
And chances are that surge would only be temporary. Dr. Jack Kevorkian will be out of prison soon on parole next June, says Russ Marlin at Michigan's prison system.
The parole board was looking at primarily will they be a risk to the community upon release. Their health status plays a part in this decision, but it's not the only factor as it was before.
Kevorkian claims to have assisted at least 130 people to end their own misery. He's being paroled on the condition he not do that anymore. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling is in prison. He arrived at the federal pen in Waseca, Minnesota just afternoon today. He's started serving his 24-year sentence for securities fraud and other offenses. Actor Peter Boyle has died. He won an Emmy for his work as the father in Everybody Loves Raymond. Peter Boyle was 71. Note to baby boomers, are you ready for retirement? One out of four are not and will have to delay the day you tell the boss to take this job. Most will have to work at least two extra years, according to stats tabulated by Boston College's Center for Retirement Research. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 2 points to close at 12,317. The Nasdaq up almost a point. And oil prices, $61.37 a barrel, up 35 cents. This is CBS News.
I know not how to express my devotion to so fair a form. I want a brighter word than bright, a fairer word than fair. I almost wish we were butterflies and lived but three summer days. Three such days with you I could fill with more delight than 50 common years could ever contain. This is how the poet John Keats said, I love you. This Christmas, say something just as beautiful without saying a word. A diamond is forever.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixels.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
Ever had one of your rear brakes freeze up after years in the cold? Kind of like that at the space station.
The astronauts spent much of the afternoon doing this over and over and over again.
Retract. Ready. Ready. Now.
trying to retract a set of solar power wings so another set could rotate into place. But after 6 years in the chill of space, the panels kept getting hung up, kind of like a bad roadmap, says Shuttle Commander Mark Polanski.
If you start folding it and the fold's going the wrong way, you try a little bit, but there gets a point of just it just bows out, and there's nothing you could do other than to pop it back in place or unfold it and try again.
Finally, they folded enough panels to make room for the new set, essential for the goal of rerouting the station's power path. Peter King, CBS News.
Last year, winter in Europe was brutally cold. The beginning of the season this year particularly mild, so mild and rainy. The ice-sculpted Christmas tree in Vienna has melted away. 30 tons of ice, imported ice, of course, from Belgium, though why that might be superior to Austrian ice is a real puzzle. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the good stuff. Get a grip on the perfect holiday gift with Napa's Vice Grip 2-Piece Groove Lock Plier Set. Quick, precise adjustments let you work fast and grab hold of fasteners, nuts, and bolts of all shapes and sizes. The slide button adjusts up to 50% faster, and the anti-pinch design prevents handles from pinching fingers. Pick up your Groove Lock Plier Set at Napa for just $34.99, plus save an additional $15 with mail and rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Your humble host has reported for duty again today, and I'm delighted you're listening. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. We originate in San Francisco, and we're on great radio stations in Eureka, Monterey, and Coos Bay, and Phoenix, and on the World Wide Web, too. People listen all over the place. And however you tune in, I'm glad you do. You can always call this program. It's interactive. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We've got a lot to talk about. You can also email me, Peter at peterbcollins.com, and that's the website where you can get a mugshot of yours truly, links to our live stream, links to our archive programs, and a little more information, too. That's at peterbcollins.com. On our program today, we've got a lot going. Next hour, we're going to talk with Mark Ash from truthout.org. It's underscoring the need for a federal shield law for reporters. Several individuals associated with Truthout, including Mark Ash, the managing editor, have received subpoenas from a military court that is trying Lieutenant Aaron Watata. And we're going to talk about this unusual development and the lack of precedent of these kinds of subpoenas to media employees. Also on our program, we update the Polonium 210 killing of Alexander Litvinenko in London. Our intrepid investigator from RawStory.com, Larissa Alexandrovna, will join us. And if there is any free speech left, we'll use it up in the free speech zone, our third hour, as usual, on the Peter B. Collins Show today. But first up, we welcome the return of Peter Lance to our program. He's an investigative reporter, used to work for ABC Television, and he has published the third of three books investigating what happened on 9/11 and the multiple failures of our governmental systems. The new book is called Triple Cross, and Peter Lance joins us from New York this afternoon. Hello again, Peter.
Great to be back, and I'm so happy that you're going to be talking about the Shield Law, because I'd love to give you my two cents on that. It's absolutely essential, Peter, that we have a national Shield Law.
Well, give us two cents right now.
Well, first of all, this is the metaphor that I always use. It's the 7/8 of the iceberg that was below the surface that sunk the Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we can see, what the public is aware of in terms of, you know, issues and events, is kind of what the people in power want them to know. And the average Daily Deadline reporter, because they're under so much pressure, can virtually, if they're lucky, by making air or making deadline at the end of the day, just, you know, do a snapshot of what the people in government or corporate America want the public to know. But it's the 7/8 below the surface that can do the most damage and the most harm. And as an investigative reporter, what I do is I just try and cover the 7/8 below the surface. And investigative reporter, the lifeblood of any investigative reporter and getting that kind of truth out for the people is being able to talk to confidential sources.
Mm-hmm.
You can't assure a confidential source that they will not be identified if they choose not to be, then you cannot ever get past that wall that exists in, you know, official corporate official government and corporate America. So in the three books that I've done, the ability to promise confidential sources that they're what they've told me would not be revealed was essential. And I'll give you an example. In the first book, 1,000 Years for Revenge, I told the story of this special agent Nancy Floyd, this FBI agent. Now, when John Miller did his book The Cell, and John had a stellar career, he'd been, you know, co-anchor with Barbara Walters of 2020, but he kind of would go back and forth into government. He worked for Bill Bratton, commissioner in New York, police commissioner, then he followed him to L.A. He's now the head FBI flack, okay? He's the head PR guy for the FBI. So when he told the story that I told in The Cell, his book, he told only the story from the FBI's point of view. He put the best light on it. He never even mentioned Nancy Floyd, which is like trying to tell the story of the takedown of John Dillinger without mentioning FBI agent Melvin Purvis, you know, the key agent. So I was able to tell Nancy's story. I'm not going to say how, but I was able to get to a number of sources, one or two who went on the record, her former mentor, Len Prednishenkis, a great agent, and some others, but I was able only to tell her story because of the confidential, you know, source, the fact that I could promise these sources anonymity. And, you know, Patrick Fitzgerald, who is a primary focus of my new book, this U.S. attorney who has, I think, done more to chill the First Amendment than any government official since the McCarthy era, not only does he have the New York Times on the run, he jailed a reporter, Judy Miller, for 85 days, he's papered the subpoenas for the Times, Time Magazine, Phil Shannon, a great reporter for the Times, who I called up for a quote relating to Abel Danger on October, I think, 12th, he took my call right away, and as soon as I mentioned Fitzgerald, he said, oh, no, he just subpoenaed my phone records, I can't comment. So even a great institution like the New York Times is chilled, in my opinion, right now by the ability of a prosecutor like Fitzgerald to go in and intimidate the media by asking for confidential sources. And it spread like a virus since this CIA leak investigation, which is a valid investigation. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to think I don't think it's important to discover the leak. But the draconian methods that are being used and the fact that, you know, there's no shield law for the Internet. There's no shield law for book writers. And it varies from state to state, and the protection is quite flimsy across the board. So there has to be a federal shield law. Anyway, that's my opinion.
I certainly agree. Peter Lance with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, speaking of journalist work being compromised, I wanted to start off to ask you to describe what happened in the editing room to the documentary, the television documentary version of Triple Cross.
Yeah, great, great question. What happened was I had... the background is this, and I have a blog on the Huffington Post, and if you go to peterlance.com, my website, you can click on this the blog that explained it. I think it was posted in August 29th. Anyway, I had been interviewed in 2005 by Towers Productions of Chicago. They do a number of hours every year of documentaries for the History Channel, A&E, National Geographic, etc. They have a great reputation. The owner is Jonathan Towers, and he approached me because they were doing a four-hour documentary called Inside 9/11. And I was one of about five or six journalists interviewed among 60, including Patrick Fitzgerald, Andrew McCarthy, a number of, you know, former government officials, active duty or retired. And it was a really, you know, kind of groundbreaking documentary. And Jonathan approached me in, I don't know, the summer of this last year, and he said, what are you working on now? You know, we want to do something for the fifth anniversary because we're going to redo Inside 9/11. I said, well, I'm doing this thing on Ali Muhammad. And immediately he was taken with this story. Al-Qaeda's top, you know, a spy who penetrated the CIA, the Green Berets, and the FBI. And I said, but John, from the get-go, I said, John, it's two stories. It's not just what he did. It's how he was able to snooker the feds. Mm-hmm. Those are key elements to the story. You just can't tell one without the other. Oh, don't worry, Peter, I agree. He basically enters into a contract with me to option my research material. He flies me to Washington in early December of last year. I go right into the room with John Ford, the president of production for the National Geographic Channel. And this is the channel that's owned by the co-owned by the National Geographic Society, which publishes that wonderful magazine that we've all had our whole lives. So anyway, so they have great integrity as far as I was concerned. And go into this meeting. I pitch this John Ford as the term of art, and he in the room. He said, "We can't not do this story." Okay. So anyway, over Christmas of this past year, I did a treatment. Jonathan edited my treatment down to about 15 pages. They greenlit the project. They went forward. They had approved an $810,000 budget. And from the beginning, I was supposed to write the script, narrate it, be the on-camera narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And all the entire documentary was based on my research, all of it. Okay? There were no other outside, there's no independent research other than interviews that were going to be done on camera, and I chose the interview subjects, and I even wrote the questions. So this is a video version of my book. Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. It was supposed to air the week before August 28th, the week before the book came out. It was supposed to come out September 5th. So cut to the chase. We're going along. We have several drafts of the script, and all of a sudden, I interview this agent named Jack Clunan, and I got an interview on May 4th in New York, and I got him on audio tape with his permission,
mm-hmm.
and he told me some amazing things. So I said, "Would you do the documentary?" He said, "Sure, let me think about it." And he read my book, A Thousand Years for Revenge. He came back, and he realized I was critical of the FBI. He thought he could snow me, and he said, well, he called Towers Productions unilaterally and said, "I will only do the interview if you cut Peter Lance, if you don't give him my interview transcript." And the transcripts were essential, Peter. I had to get the transcripts like within a day if I wasn't going to do the interview so that I could incorporate them into the book, okay?
Uh-huh.
So in the end, they just acquiesced. They rolled over. They breached the contract. They agreed to let him do this interview. And then Mary Jo White, the former U.S. attorney, did the same thing. And then a third ex-Fed named Tommy Corrigan with the Joint Task Force did the same. They made the same demands. Peter Lance does not get the contract. So I had to hire a lawyer. And I had a huge kind of blowout with them, and they wanted me to go on camera to do my portion of the documentary. I said, I can't go on camera and comment, because what if Jack Clunan watered down in his second interview what he told me in the first? I have to be able to look at everything. How can I do my due diligence as a reporter if I don't see everything? And there were 200 pages of transcripts, Peter, from these three key sources, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they said, sorry, you're not getting it, and we had a big, fight and lawyers' letters back and forth. And finally, on July 12th, they realized that they'd breached the contract and they didn't really have the rights to my documentary. So they sent me ex post facto, 6 weeks late in the case of Clunan, the interviews. Now, the reason my book didn't come out until 2 months later after its original date was that I had to take all that process, those 200 pages, work them back into the book, vet them, hold them against Clunan's mm-hmm. original interview, etc. So then, once that happened in August, I turned the book in the late July, and then I approached them. I said, look, guys, why don't you just delay the documentary? As soon as I'm done with the book, we can then go and do the documentary. You'll have everything, because I had found some more amazing information, okay? No, they wouldn't do it. I said, well, why don't you then give me the documentaries to screen, and I can at least vet it for you to make sure it's accurate. Would not do that, Peter, unless I signed a non-disparagement letter saying I wouldn't. I said, how can I do that? How can I, So they basically, not only in the final product, which aired August 28th, called Triple Cross, based entirely on my work, except in the beginning they had a little super that said based in part on Peter Lance's work,
uh-huh.
which is absurd.
So
they turned Jack Clunan into the narrator of the piece. He even went on Fox News the weekend before to promote the piece for National Geographic.
I got
to
take a break here, Peter. We'll pick up there in a moment. The point here is the whitewash.
The point here is that when the feds use their muscle, the corporate America runs.
And the whitewash of 9/11 continues.
Right.
And we'll continue with Peter Lance's new book, Triple Cross. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure. A first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with investigative reporter Peter Lance.
World wars to horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center. You better believe it. You better deal with it. It's time to keep your secrets.
Peter Lance's newest book, digging into the truth about 9/11, is called Triple Cross. And, Peter, I come to this subject fairly well informed. I haven't done nearly as much work as you have, but I'd just like you to know I've done tens of hours of interviews with a range of people, from the Jersey Girls to David Ray Griffin to others. Some of the scientists who've looked into the forensics and the physics of what happened on 9/11. And I spent 2 days in the Hart office building in Washington watching the proceedings of the 9/11 commission. Do you know what a ditch witch is, Peter?
A ditch witch?
Yeah.
No.
It is a, you know, a bulldozer type device that is used to dig a ditch that you would put a pipeline in. And the way a ditch witch works is you can set the depth and the width of the ditch that the ditch witch digs. And my metaphor is that the 9/11 Commission was a ditch witch that was set to go a mile wide and only about 6 inches deep.
That's a beautiful metaphor. Yeah, absolutely, dead on. By the way, before I respond to that in full, and I would love to, because my second book, Cover Up, was spent half of it on the 9/11 Commission and its shortfall. Could I just say one last thing about this Nashville Geo thing, so
yeah,
it doesn't sound like some disgruntled writer upset about the adaptation of his book? If you want to get an idea of why it matters, why the public should care about whether National Geographic told only half of the Ali Muhammad story, when they did the interview with Jack Clunan, he told this stunning, made this stunning revelation that Patrick Fitzgerald, we know, is the special prosecutor in the CIA leak case, U.S. attorney in Chicago, busted a terror suspect alleged last week who was so broke that he had to trade stereo equipment with undercover JTTF operatives for some, allegedly for hand grenades and a 9mm pistol. So, you know, not exactly a major Al-Qaeda player. But anyway, Patrick Fitzgerald has a meeting face-to-face with Ali Muhammad, according to Jack Clunan, who was at the meeting in Sacramento, California, in October of 97. At the meeting, Ali Muhammad says to him, "I love bin Laden. I don't need a fatwa to attack America. I have a number of agents I can make operational at a given moment, sleepers effectively, and I can disappear in a moment's notice." And this guy is a naturalized U.S. citizen. He is an Army, honorably discharged U.S. Army veteran. And basically, he's uttering words of conspiracy.
He infiltrated Fort Bragg. He trained some of the 9/11 hijackers.
Well, no, that's, you know, we don't know if he trained. Well, we know that he admitted to Clunan that he told them how to smuggle box cutters onto flights, and that he told certain people where to sit in first class. We don't know if he trained specifically the 19, but we certainly know that he was aware of the plot and that they failed to get it out of him for 3 years after his arrest. But here's what's very interesting apropos of the National Geographic documentary. Clunan walked away with Patrick Fitzgerald after the meeting, and Fitzgerald turned to him and said, "That is the most dangerous man I have ever met. We cannot leave him on the street." Those two lines, very important lines. They left him on the street, Peter, for 10 more months, and at which point the African embassy bombing, which Ali had planned starting in 1993, took the photographs where bin Laden pointed to the pictures and said, "That's where I want the suicide truck bomb to go," went off 5 years later, 224 dead between the two African cities, and 4,000 at least injured. Now, Ali Muhammad was not only the originator of the plot in terms of surveillance, but he sustained the cell. He lived with a guy named Wadi El-Haj, one of the principal cell members. The feds knew. They were wiretapping El-Haj's phone from 96 on. They searched El-Haj's house that August previous to the Fitzgerald meeting, and they found Ali Muhammad's name. They knew Ali Muhammad had been an FBI informant on the West Coast from 92 on, and Fitzgerald walks away and says, "We can't leave him on the street," and he left him on the street. Okay, that second line was not in the documentary. The first line was, you know, "He's the most dangerous man I've ever met." But they didn't put the second line in. Why? Because they were tailoring that documentary, knuckling under to these feds, and tailoring the documentary to put a spin on it and make it look like the government had not failed. Now, that is reprehensible. And when they finally, when I went public with this and I held off to the very last minute, you know, trying to work it out with them, they had the audacity to accuse me of, they said, "We couldn't corroborate certain of Peter's findings." Now, that is a bald-faced lie, absolutely inaccurate. I offered it every step of the way. They used all of my research for the documentary, and they never made an effort to follow up to let me vet the documentary in the end. So this is an example of a major institution. And by the way, what's really ironic, they're two-thirds owned by News Corp, Rupert Murdoch's company, which also owns my publishing company,
right,
HarperCollins. So, and they used a News Corp lawyer to come after me. So, you know, but for Judith Reagan's ability to have her own independent power base at News Corp, although which is, you know, who knows what her power base is now post the OJ book.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't been protected by that aura, if you will, the book would not even have come out. So if people want to get the real, true, unexpurgated story of Triple Cross and Ali Muhammad, that's where, you know, and I now, since my program with you, I put the entire 32-page timeline on
Peter. I gotta take a break. I can't stop. We'll be back in a moment with Peter Lance on the Peter B. Collins Show.
From
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy Holidays from Thinker Toys.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. That's enough commercials for now, wouldn't you say? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Certainly, 9/11 rocked the nation, rocked the world. And we're still trying to figure out what the hell happened. How did a superpower like the United States get snookered entirely? And why is it that no one has been held accountable for the failures of our intelligence, the failures of our air defense, the failures of the FBI, at that time tasked exclusively with terrorist investigations inside this country? Why has no individual or group been held accountable? Many of these people, as Peter Lance points out in his newest book, Triple Cross, have actually been promoted for their failures. And Peter Lance, let's return to my ditch witch metaphor for the 9/11 Commission and your appraisal of their work.
Well, first of all, I had a source inside the commission staff who began talking to me in the late fall of 2003. And I would meet him in New York, kind of a deep throat situation. This is a former law enforcement officer who was very worried that, you know, this is a classic example of how you need the shield law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we would meet after work downtown Lower Manhattan. He was telling me, number one, they're cherry-picking evidence on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. They're only focusing on the last couple of years. They're not going to take this thing all the way back to Brooklyn, 1989, the Mosque of the Blind Sheikh, which is what they needed to do to understand the full depth of al-Qaeda's penetration in this country. And the answer why was because the FBI had made so many mistakes on the road to 9/11 that the commission was determined to kind of protect the reputation of not just the Bureau, but a number of the agencies. Of the 75 staffers, Peter, half were alumni of the CIA, the FBI, the White House, the DIA, NSA, or the intelligence committees on the Hill that failed to do the oversight job.
Well, and I agree with David Ray Griffin, who renamed the 9/11 Commission report the Cain-Zelikow report, because Phil Zelikow, right-hand guy to Condoleezza Rice, just recently left the post there under her at the State Department.
Right.
He really did control the scope of the investigation. Now, you tell us in the book about two people who gave valuable information to the commission and got reduced to footnotes, and these are just two examples. I've talked to many more. One is yourself, and the other is Tony Schaefer. Talk about Abel Danger and what Schaefer tried to do, and connect it to the defeat of Curt Weldon, the Republican congressman from Pennsylvania.
That is a great question. And you know what's really important about this, Peter? Many liberal writers who don't like Weldon because, you know, he's a conservative congressman, Republican, and he's been wrong on X number of issues over the years as far as the left is concerned, happen to be dead on right on this one. And he's getting tarred with the brush of just, another, member of the Bush establishment, which is untrue on this issue. In a nutshell, what happened was, and I talked to Tony Schaefer today, because they're still trying to take his security clearance away after they just restored it. Tony Schaefer is a decorated Bronze Star winner. This guy is both what they call from the J2 and the J3. He's both an analyst and he's an in-the-field, on-the-ground spook, spy, knuckle-dragger, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And after, and he's a veteran, a decorated military officer in the Army, and right after 9/11, he went into Afghanistan and was in part of Task Force 180 hunting bin Laden. And he got decorated in a secret ceremony with the Bronze Star because his operation was so secret. Anyway, he was involved in late 1999, the head of SOCOM, the Special Operations Command, Pete Schoonmaker, General, and Hugh Shelton, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, got together, and they realized a year after the embassy bombing, this al-Qaeda is going to be a threat. We're going to have our boots on the ground against them eventually. Let's find out who they are. So they commenced a thing called Operation Abel Danger, which is this vast data mining operation. It was like a hyper version of what I've done in my book using an iMac and FileMaker Pro, only they had these massive search bots. They searched 10,000 websites a day for open sources, and they would start with example with al-Qaeda, or they'd start with the name Omar Abdel-Rahman, the blind sheikh, and then they'd see like all the phone bills connected with his New York mosque, anything, rent receipts, insurance records, INS records, anything they could find. And as soon as they found another name, they would do the same thing. So what you got was 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon on steroids instantly. Okay, you got this massive amount of data, 99% of which was irrelevant and included people who were just completely innocent, but then they would cull the data down and then they would represent the connections in what they call link charts. And Lieutenant Colonel Schaefer has sworn under oath, and I totally believe him, not just because of the authority and the specificity of what he says, but in a minute I'll give you how logical it was that they would have found these guys. He claimed that they found identified in early 2000, Muhammad Atta, the lead hijacker, Marwan al-Shehhi, who flew the UA-175 into the South Tower, the Trade Center, and the two muscle hijackers, al-Midar and al-Hazmi, okay? Now, it was easy. This is a no-brainer. They were living openly in San Diego, these two guys.
Right.
From January 15th, they had one of them had his name in the phone directory. They had season passes to SeaWorld. They bought a car. They were highly visible.
And didn't one of them actually get a cash contribution from the wife of Prince Bandar?
Well, that is another interesting story. It was laundered through a couple of levels, and mm-hmm. that was a temporary scandal. But Prince Bandar's wife gave some money to some people who ultimately interfaced with this guy directly.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Peter, he's living in a home at one point of Abdusadr Sheikh, a stone FBI informant who failed to tell the Bureau about these guys. So the point is they were highly visible, and Atta came in June 3rd, and he obviously they were searching INS databases. He had to get a visa. He got an apartment in Brooklyn under his own name. So why was it such a how hard to find these guys? Okay. So, Peter,
let me just ask you to wrap this part up in a minute or two. I got a stack of phone calls.
Yeah, all right. So what happens is Tony Schaefer goes and testifies with Philip Zelikow in October of 2003 when the 9/11 Commission is in Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, and Zelikow purports to be interested. Oh, as soon as you get back, Tony, meet with us. Tony gets back. They're not interested. They basically flush. They say, we've got the story. Then Scott Pilpot, another decorated officer, Navy, comes forward. He talks to Dietrich Snell, who becomes an important player.
Yes.
His testimony is also flushed.
He's the snuffer.
None of it gets into the 9/11 report, okay? And it totally dovetails with everything I found about the awareness of the intelligence agencies prior to 9/11.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a couple of questions for some short answers. Why did Building 7 come down?
Building 7 is a tricky one. Building 7 looks clearly from the video like it had some kind of rigging. They even Silverstein said, let's pull it, which
right.
is a term. But I think that that's possibly connected to the fact that there were a high-level spook offices in that building, not
mm-hmm.
just New York. New York City's, you know, Office of Emergency Preparedness was in there, but purportedly
CIA
service.
Yep.
However, as to the other towers, this is where David Ray and I differ, and I respect mm-hmm. David Ray, and if you read his second book, he quotes me liberally, and,
yep.
and you know,
mm-hmm.
so he respects me, but we disagree on the two towers, and we can get into that.
Simple terms, do you believe the pancake theory?
Oh, yeah, I believe it. Not only do I believe it, but I have massive research. There was supposed to be fireproof foam retardant sprayed on the steel. It was light steel. It was a revolutionary design. They changed the building code in New York, which had required concrete and tile around structural steel in order mm-hmm. to get up to 110 stories. And there were the mob guy named Louis DeBono, working for Gambino, got the contract, sprayed three-quarters of an inch on the North Tower, I mean an inch and a half, three-quarters on the South, which is why the North Tower was hit first and went down second. And the University of Maryland had done a study about how this insulation had degraded. So when they talk about all these theories about how, you know, the flames could never have gotten hot enough to melt steel, totally wrong, because the steel was completely unprotected.
All right.
They were actually retrofitting the towers. They were up to the 20th floor when 9/11 happened. And how would Al-Qaeda know this? Because it all came out in Ramzi Youssef's second trial, the World Trade Center trial in 97. So I believe absolutely, as does all the members of the fire service that I've interviewed, and they had the most to lose. 344 mm-hmm. men died that day. You know,
okay,
they're not going to be partying to a cover-up.
Let me move quickly to one other thing. Was it a plane that hit the Pentagon?
Oh, absolutely, and I don't even want. With all due respect, I'd rather not. I just don't want to go there. There's so many important.
Well, let me just ask you this,
yeah.
and I'm not asking you to prove anything, but I have serious questions about what did happen at the Pentagon, and I can't figure out why they won't release photographs to put any of these doubts to rest.
Well, why aren't they releasing the photographs of the Oklahoma City, the federal building? You know why their video cameras up the wazoo?
Well, I have lingering questions about that one too.
I know, but here's the point: it doesn't necessarily because they cover these things up doesn't necessarily. Many people jump to the shadow government trilateral commission theory. Okay,
I understand, and I'm not there, Peter. All
okay.
I'm saying is that the physical evidence doesn't match the stories we've been told, and give us the proof of the government's story. That's
all right, but do you want to know the most logical question here. Where are the bodies? Well, where are the families? If no remains were ever given to these families, if nobody ever got, not one of the families on AA-77 got an adequate answer, whereas at least in New York, even though they haven't identified half of the people because of the body parts and everything, where, you know, the idea that, look, it was a reinforced concrete section of the building, and I've seen the video with the spools of wire on the ground, but nobody can say definitively that the wheels of the plane would have hit those spools and cause damage to the ground. What I'm getting at is here, it's very possible that an aircraft of that size could have had the wings pulled back and could have entered that building. it's like, it's too big. The idea that they actually would use a missile and not a plane, and that they would disappear that many people, is like in public.
I realize it opens a whole can of worms. My fundamental issue is the hole in the side of the Pentagon was not big enough for a 767 to be swallowed up, and there isn't significant fuselage or other debris that was seen outside the building. And if they have that information, why the hell won't they share it?
Listen, I don't want to be in a position of defending this administration in any way, shape, or form. But when you make a statement like, and you know how much I respect you, but when you make a statement like that, what model are you basing it on? There had never been an event in history like it. So there's no way of comparison. All these people would say, you know, the plane didn't make a hole big enough at all. There's no model. There's no forensic model by which you can reach that kind of a conclusion.
All right,
I don't know what would happen to an aircraft at that speed.
Okay, I need to break in here because anyway. I got a bunch of callers and they're going to get upset if we don't talk to them. Okay. First up, Dave in the Pinnacles. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Peter Lance.
Well, hi, Peter Lance, and hi, Peter B. I appreciate your work, Peter, but one thing that I'd like to question you on is what happened to the time? According to the official report on 305, the South Tower collapsed in 10 seconds. Well, gravitational velocity dictates that an object would fall in a vacuum at 9.2 seconds for the 1,360 feet. So we're saying that the resistance, with this pancake theory, the resistance just totally evaporated. With a pancake theory down, we're saying that the structure at the 20th and 30th floor levels was still intact. How could the resistance of that building totally dissipate without leaving a time factor?
I'm not going to argue science with you. My answer is the same answer I just gave Peter. You are making scientific theoretical suppositions based on the performance of way a building like that, which has never been a building like that, number one. There's no other model in the world for those twin towers. The structural way that they had both the integrity of the inner core and the outer walls dependent on each other in order to get up to 110. So there's no other model. So
how could the resistance dissipate so quickly?
With all due respect, can I just answer you? There's no model that, for which anyone can compare it. So when people say, you know, a group of, you know, celebrated scientists have gotten together and they said there's no way this could have happened. No, they're just they're hypothesizing, and I appreciate that. Listen, I'm in the doubt business. I'm in the questioning business. And believe me, if I found an ounce of evidence that suggested that this government, anybody in this government, had pre-wired the World Trade Center, do you understand the security implications in that? Do you understand how many people went in and out of that building every day? How many people would have to be involved in a conspiracy like that? It's off the wall. And what it does, in my opinion, it deflects the laser beam of accountability away from people like Patrick Fitzgerald. I have done what Peter B. Collins said the 9/11 Commission failed to do. I've named Fitzgerald, Dietrich Snell, Valerie Caproni, current the senior counsel to the FBI, the head lawyer, Andrew C. McCarthy. I'm accusing these people of obstruction of justice, which is a crime, okay? And by living in the la-la land of the plane didn't hit the Pentagon, what I believe you do, not you, but people do, is they allow the government to put, you know, all those extreme theorists, people with extreme theories, in the same boat as me, and I'm focusing a laser beam, and I'm trying to get a new investigation. So I really don't want to waste my time on this broadcast tonight answering those what if questions, because it's like, you know, if you want to do that, talk to Alex Jones, but not me. Okay?
Well, gravitational velocity is not a way out theory; it's a proven fact. The building dissipated at 8 tenths of a
second. According to what? According to who? What are you talking
according
about?
To what?
Proven fact.
All right,
you
guys.
Know,
these
are laws of gravitation. Objects fall at a given rate.
Oh, all right, God. Dave. Peter, thank you for the call. And Peter, we're going to take a break here.
I can't deal with this. I really don't want to. The time that we have, it's like, you know, if you want to do something valuable with your time, go to peterlance.com, download the 32-page timeline of my book, and then if you want to send me emails about velocity and all that, you can do it. Why don't you get real people out there?
I've got this.
All right, guys, I got to take a break here. We'll continue in just a moment with Peter Lance right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes away from the hour. My guest is Peter Lance, and his powerful new book is called Triple Cross. And as he described to us before I actually got the book, one of the most powerful elements in here is the centerfold. The center section is a full-color timeline that goes all the way back into the 1980s, detailing the history of Al-Qaeda and the failure of various government agencies, primarily the FBI, to really deal with the problems, coordinate properly, and give us a footing to identify and, like I say, deal with the issues. And I really commend you, Peter, for the timeline. I think it's fascinating, and it helps put things in a perspective that no one has attempted before, not the 9/11 Commission, and certainly not any media outlet that I'm aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my intent, Peter. You know, I didn't have the capability of investigating the CIA or the NSA or the DIA because they operate virtually in the black. But up until 9/11, the war on terror and the Justice Department and the FBI was fought as a series of legal cases. So I could access those 40,000 pages. I could develop sources in New York City and elsewhere. And that's what I've done. I've audited them in a way that they've never been audited. And that's why Fitzgerald, I mean, Andrew McCarthy flipped out and attacked me when I went on O'Reilly a couple of weeks ago when the book came out. If you go to peterlance.com, you can not only download that, and I would invite every one of your listeners, and I'm sure they're all wired if they're listening to you, just download that PDF and read it. And I defy anybody, if you read that 32-page timeline, it takes you about an hour, that you won't want to read the book and get all the details.
Yeah.
And one other thing about, look, I respect all people who doubt. That's what I do for a living. And if the person is passionate about that theory about the towers, fine. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to spend the precious time that I have debating it.
I hear that, but let me ask you about this, because I deal with it too, Peter. I have serious questions, and I am not one of those people who claims that nothing happened or that, you know, no planes were flown into the towers or anything like that. But there is a gap between the official story and the physical evidence and the testimonial evidence, as you point out in three volumes now. How do we try to separate the true kooks and fanatics from those of us who have honest questions and who are not trying to grind a specific theory? I just want the truth.
I agree with you. We all do. And I think that if we can get Patrick Fitzgerald under oath and some of these people on some kind of a body where that there's subpoena power and it's not staffed by alumni of the same agencies who want to protect themselves, the Jersey girls, victims' families, journalists, scholars, that's the kind of inquiry we need. But let me mention, I'm going to break some news tonight, okay?
Okay.
With respect to 7 World Trade, okay? I never wrote about this in my book, and although I documented it, and the reason I didn't write about it is I had so much else to do, and I felt, and I still feel, that there's 7 World Trade is a book unto itself, but this is absolutely the truth. Listen to this. There was a fire marshal that day who had survived both collapses, and anybody walking around Lower Manhattan was covered with debris, white, okay? And the fire marshal is walking by Vesey Street, which is on the northern perimeter. It went east-west across where the northern part of the tower was, and across Vesey Street was where 7 World Trade was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an hour after the second tower collapsed, and he sees a police detective with an Arab, a guy of Arabic origin, in an FDNY turnout coat, and he's got him locked up with handcuffs. And it turns out that this detective found this guy walking out of the garage of 7 World Trade shortly after the second tower collapsed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him questions. The guy was evasive. He then spoke with a foreign accent. He looked at the guy's cell phone, and he saw what appeared to be Arabic names, so he arrested him. He's wearing a turnout coat and boots from the fire department, and he tells the guy that he got them from some firefighter in an unknown fictitious company, and the cop knew that there was no such company, all right? Turns out they investigated, and this guy who was Arabic, who was of Arabic extraction, was supposedly from Turkey, but he was an Islamic. He stole that turnout coat from 10 and 10, 10 engine and 10 truck, which is on the southern most
right.
perimeter, Liberty Street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He walked in there. He was down there as soon as the first plane hit, American 11, okay? Those guys were out of there. The door of the firehouse was open. He went in and stole the coat of an off-duty probationary firefighter who was not there that day. So that meant that he was down there at the time the first tower hit. That meant that he had the presence of mind to steal the coat and the boots, and he also was in 7 World Trade Center and pristine, therefore meaning he was in that building during both collapses, because if he was out, he would have been covered.
Right.
Now, the cop and the fire marshal had that guy. They followed him to a precinct in Lower Manhattan where an Arabic-speaking police officer identified him as being a Saudi, of Saudi origin, and they recommended to the FBI. They immediately called the FBI. Do you know what? He was prosecuted by Morgenthau, the DA's office, for the cost of the theft of the equipment. He did time served, and he's in the wind. Okay? He's
wow.
gone. And the FBI never investigated. Now, that is a very, very important potential lead on why 7 World Trade went down, because, as you know, the fire didn't even start till the afternoon. And they claim that the debris that caused the building to go down was a result of the debris from the collapse of the tower. Well, the fire didn't even start till later, and the gas tanks that they say caused the demolition were way inside the building, the fuel tanks, the
right.
power, okay?
Yeah.
So, you see, you understand how I do have doubts and how I have spent time on this, but I don't report something I can't prove, and if I don't have enough evidence, I don't jump to a conclusion. So that's where I stand. That's why 7 World Trade is, as we would say in the law, sui generis and unique.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, I want to thank you for the work you've done. It's been fascinating to talk with you. Many questions linger, but I really appreciate your efforts to get behind the government shield, the effort to protect the individuals who failed us miserably on 9/11, and to report this out. And I want to invite you back on the show to talk further. There's much more in the book that we haven't gotten to, and I'm going to keep probing for the truth, and I know you will too.
Peter, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it. If people go to peterlance.com, they can access the book right away.
All right. Thank you very much. That's peterlance.com. And he has joined us this afternoon. Once again, his book is called Triple Cross. That is the third in the trilogy. Actually, it's just a package of three books by Peter Lance. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, archived at peterbcollins.com.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
More advice on Iraq strategy, but no plan yet.
I'm not going to be rushed into making a difficult decision.
A new culprit in the Taco Bell E. coli outbreak.
That most likely vehicle is lettuce.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The commander-in-chief and the nation's top military leadership huddled at the Pentagon today, weighing the options in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage.
Calling it a fascinating discussion, President Bush spent the better part of 2 hours with the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the civilian leadership of the Pentagon. But in the search for a new strategy on Iraq, he renewed his commitment to the current one.
If we lose our nerve, if we're not steadfast in our determination to help the Iraqi government succeed, we will be handing Iraq over to an enemy that would do us harm.
By delaying announcement of a new strategy until January, Mr. Bush says he's hearing more ideas and opinions. He says some are interesting, but some, in his words, would lead to defeat. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
The new strategy could involve a short-term buildup of U.S. troops to quell the violence in Baghdad. CBS News correspondent David Martin talked to a senior military officer directly involved in the deliberations.
According to this officer, neither the number nor the types of troops that would be sent into Baghdad have been decided, although commanders in the field have made it clear they need trainers to embed in Iraqi units, engineers to undertake construction projects, and staff officers to help run the Iraqi ministries more than they need combat troops. Most of all, they need the government of Prime Minister Maliki to bridge Iraq's sectarian divide.
The commanders are telling President Bush that Iraq is approaching a point of no return and he has less than 6 months to turn it around. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixels.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy 3 or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Green onions, white onions. Now federal health investigators say lettuce was the likely carrier of E. coli bacteria that sickened dozens of people who ate at Taco Bell from the Northeast. It still hasn't been confirmed, but Dr. Christopher Braden at the Centers for Disease Control is cautiously optimistic.
We haven't seen new cases in a number of days.
that does give us comfort that the outbreak is drawing to a close.
Taco Bell says it is not necessary to take lettuce off its menu. Senator Tim Johnson, Democrat of South Dakota, is hospitalized in Washington for treatment of a possible stroke. Johnson had trouble with his speech during an interview with CBS radio affiliate WNAX in Yankton.
You know, it just is frustrating.
Johnson's office says it was caught very early, but if he's incapacitated or dies, it could mean the Democrats lose their one-seat majority in the Senate. The governor of South Dakota, who'd appoint a replacement, is a Republican. Actor Peter Boyle, most recently known as Frank Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond, has died at 71. He'd been battling multiple myeloma and heart disease. Boyle's TV wife, Doris Roberts, says it's like losing a real spouse.
He was so dear. So unlike what you see him do on television or movies. A gentle, kind, wonderfully intelligent, sensitive man.
Boyle was a former monk who quit the monastery and pursued an acting career in New York, where he became a good friend of John Lennon. Lennon was best man at his wedding. In 1974, he was the monster opposite Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein.
You are not evil. You are good!
Peter Boyle once described the Frank Barone character as obnoxious in a nice way. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
A Food and Drug Administration advisory panel.
Collins Show. We get updates from two of our favorite news and information websites. Later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com will update us on Alexander Litvinenko's poisoning. But first, TruthOut.org is facing subpoenas.
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now, here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge!
TruthOut.org is one of my favorite sources for news and commentary. They do a great job. And Jason Leopold of TruthOut visits with us once a week. He was on yesterday, and we teased you about a big breaking story that would be posted today. And that has all come to pass. Jason Leopold penned the piece called Army Targets TruthOut for Subpoenas in Ouattara Case. This is the case of Lieutenant Aaron Ouattara, who made news earlier this year by refusing to return to duty in Iraq. And he's a man I have great respect for. He's now up for a court-martial, and he's been accused of, the charges are missing deployment, contemptuous speech toward officials, and, most importantly, conduct unbecoming an officer. And the cruel twist here is that the prosecutor in the case has issued subpoenas trying to compel reporters from TruthOut, including Sarah Olson, Dar Jamail, who's been on our program many times, and Sari Gelzer. They want the military wants those individuals to come and testify. And they have also served our guest this half hour, the executive director of TruthOut.org, Mark Ash. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine, probably a little better than you. You're spending more time with lawyers than I imagine you'd like to.
Well, just on the front end, I want to quickly clarify. In fact, subpoenas have not been served. We have been notified by email of an intent to serve subpoenas.
Okay, thanks.
And as you can tell, that's the inspiration I get from the lawyers you mentioned.
Well, I on this show, we don't have any sacred cows, including the host, and when I'm wrong, I like to be corrected, and the sooner the better.
Well, I would have heard that from the other side, from Sarah and from Dar and from Sarah very quickly, but so I didn't better.
Okay, so you're facing the threat of the issuance of subpoenas, and you've been notified to expect them, but to date they have not been served.
Correct.
Okay. And have they coordinated with you, say, an address for service of process?
Well, again, now we're getting into the more minutia. Let's put it this way. They have indicated an intent to issue subpoenas, and our attorneys are fielding questions with regard to service. And I think that's the best thing to do right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The core of this case is, at least in my view, the need for a federal shield law for journalists in this country. And you might be pleased to know that Peter Lance was on our program in the preceding hour, and when he heard we were going to be talking about this, he wanted to weigh in, too. And his books about 9/11 and digging into the investigation thereof, he said, would not have been possible without confidential sources and my ability to protect their identities. And this is at the basis of our free press in this country. And Patrick Fitzgerald has trampled those rights in his effort to discover the leaker in the Rove case. And we now have a very interesting case without much precedent that you are facing in the Ouattara court-martial.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Patrick Fitzgerald and his pursuit of Matthew Cooper, particularly Judith Miller, obviously, and 23 other prominent mainstream journalists. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. Certainly, in that case, we hoped that the truth would come out. We don't really think it has yet. Is putting journalists behind bars the best way to do that? That's never something you want to see. I think there were some minor or certainly important and significant legal points that were going on behind the scenes in that particular case, and I think that there are some significant differences between that case and this case. However, that would be a protracted legal discussion. I don't know if we have time for that, but right. I think there are significant differences.
Mark Ash is with us, Executive Director of Truth Out on the web at truthout.org. And if you go to the website today, the article I'm referring to is featured prominently, along with a video from Jeff Millard. I met Jeff in Washington at Camp Democracy back in September. He's a very impressive man who served in Iraq and is trying to make it possible for other people to avoid that service in one form or another. And he conducted an interview with your attorney, Bill Simpich, which I think helps people understand some of the legal issues there. In particular, the lack of precedent. Talk about this, Mark Ash. You're operating in a territory here. The article that Jason wrote reads, the charges filed against Ouattara marked the first time in 41 years that the military has used the charge of conduct unbecoming an officer to prosecute an officer's public statements. And likewise, there isn't a legal precedent for these kinds of subpoenas that are being threatened against you and your reporters.
Well, not exactly. Jason did a fantastic job of researching that piece, and as you move through the article, you'll see that he, in fact, does pull out some rather relevant citations that have to do with subpoenaing film and testimony notes from journalists, both in the case of the U.S. military accident in Switzerland that killed 20 people by severing the cable of a ski lift.
I remember.
Car,
mm-hmm.
Right. And then there was another case involving a gang rape of an 18-year-old woman on a military base. In both cases, the military was very interested in gaining the notes and film of the reporters that had covered the story, had subpoenaed them, and I know that the result of one of those cases was that the United States Air Force, I think in the Switzerland case, admonished the prosecutors, the military prosecutors, the Air Force prosecutors, for having been as aggressive towards the journalist as they had been, and developed a new policy that advised the prosecutors in the case of pursuing that information from journalists to review the case on a direct basis with their superior officers and enter into negotiations with the journalists rather than subpoenaing and pursuing. In addition to which, Jason also uncovered important details about the chain of events that would occur after a subpoena is served, or if a subpoena, a military prosecutor subpoena, were not adhered to.
Okay. And what would those be?
Well, according to the information Jason uncovered, and it's in the article, it appears that a federal judge in a civilian court would be called in at that point to review the situation and take what that federal court judge, civilian federal court judge, probably in a district level, deemed an appropriate action, whatever that might be. We are not aware of a situation where a journalist in that situation, responding or not responding to a military subpoena, has then been jailed by a federal court judge. That doesn't mean it can't happen. We're not aware of an instance in which it has happened.
All right, let me try to clarify that. So if, for example, Dar Jamail fails to respond to the subpoena and fails to report,
And I want to clarify, that's certainly not what he has said he will do.
I'm speaking hypothetically.
Okay.
But if he chose to do that, then the military court would go into federal court at the district level,
right,
and try to get a judge to compel him to comply?
They certainly would have that option. It does not appear that the military court would have provenance over civilians, nor does it seem logical.
Mm-hmm. So to the extent that you can, Mark Ash, tell us what your current strategy would be in facing these kinds of subpoenas.
Well, again, we think, as I said in the article, we think the action is retaliatory. We are not inclined to cooperate any more than the law says we absolutely have to. We have substantial recourse under the law, and we will exercise all of our rights under the law. Frankly, we do think this has a chilling effect. I think that realistically the United States and Pentagon has engaged, particularly over the last couple of decades, in the memory, you know, acting on the memory of Vietnam, in which Ho Chi Minh badly embarrassed the Pentagon and the U.S. military, the U.S. government, by interviewing POWs and inviting Jane Fonda to Vietnam. The Pentagon took that very hard and determined that they were not going to allow that to happen again. They see the public relations battle as a component of an ongoing mission, particularly this ongoing mission, as they did in the first Gulf War. And this is why you see the phenomenon of embedded journalists. And if you're an embedded journalist, you know, you have the full protection of the military as well as it can extend it to you. And if you're not, you can get accidentally shot, and often do. The Pentagon has really kind of sent a clear and unequivocal message to journalists worldwide that either they cooperate or they are persona non grata.
Yeah, there's a true chilling effect there. We'll pick up there as we continue. Our guest is Mark Ash, Executive Director of Truth Out. They're on the web, truthout.org. And if you have a question or comment about this unusual attempt that could lead to subpoenas issued to their reporters, you can give us a call right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Let's check a drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Taking a look at southbound Highway 1, it is a little heavier now as everyone heads home between Monterey heading into Carmel at this point. Now, the Santa Cruz Mountains, a very slick drive this afternoon. We've already seen a few solo vehicle spinouts, mostly in the Summit area. Right now, all is well, starting to build a little bit as far as slow traffic. Just take that area very slow. Eastbounders along Highway 25, a little slower now between Gilroy and Hollister. Also slow traffic on both sides of Highway 68 in pockets between Monterey and Salinas. This look is brought to you by Toys R Us. It's the Toys R Us two-day holiday sale this Friday and Saturday with up to 50% off hot toys from brands like Cars, Thomas the Tank, Fisher-Price, Bratz, Play School, and more. Only at Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 21 minutes past the hour. And my guest is Mark Ash. He's Executive Director of Truth Out. And their website is truthout.org. If you've never been there, well, get a life, get broadband, and get plugged in. It's been a tough year for journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists reported that the number of journalists jailed worldwide has increased for the second year in a row. In the U.S., we have two journalists in prison without charge or trial. AP photographer Bilal Hussein, who has now been incarcerated for 8 months in Iraq. Al Jazeera cameraman Sami Al-Haj, in prison for 5 years at Guantanamo Bay. And here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Joshua Wolf, a young freelance videographer, has been in jail for several months now for refusing to turn over a video of a 2005 protest to a U.S. federal grand jury. And Mark Ash, the reporters who may be subpoenaed, who have published at Truth Out and elsewhere, they are essentially being asked to corroborate the government's case that he operated in a way that was incompatible with military law and standards, and in particular that by challenging the administration on the war in Iraq and speaking out as eloquently as he has, that, you know, he deserves to be punished. And in many cases, weren't these comments made in front of large groups of people? And couldn't the military court be subpoenaing individuals who were there who are not journalists?
In theory, we think that that's quite possible that they could. We do not believe, as Bill Simpich mentioned in the video, we don't think this is necessary. We think there are other ways to authenticate that. Essentially, what they're asking, all of the items that provide them with evidence of conduct on becoming an officer and a gentleman appeared on Truthout, both in video form and in text form, being interviews and a statement given at a press conference or a conference for Veterans for Peace. And all those items appeared on Truthout. The military looked at Truthout, saw those items, and decided to build their case strictly off of materials they found on Truthout. They've settled on a course of action pursuing us for what they call authentication. Was the video in question made at the conference in question, or was it made on a film lot in Los Angeles? Was the interview actually made between Sarah Olson and Aaron Watada mm-hmm. on the date in question, or was it made, or is Sarah Olson a fiction writer?
Yeah.
So the only way the court can accept that is with authentication.
Mm-hmm. Now, to date, again, subpoenas haven't been served. You've received emails from the military prosecutor. And
stating the intent to serve.
Right. And it's curious that Jason mentions in this article that you have attempted to communicate attorney to attorney, and this military prosecutor, he's named here, Captain Dan Kuecker, has been communicating directly with you.
Well, he seems to mean, basically there are things that Mr. Kuecker wants, Prosecutor Kuecker, Captain Kuecker wants. If he gets them, he's fine. If he doesn't get them, he goes about it a different way. We're a little bit puzzled. We don't think a civilian prosecutor would take the liberties he's taken. And we're just wondering a little bit how things happen down there at the military law offices. Because this isn't the kind of conduct that we would normally associate with civilian prosecutors. Civilian prosecutors, of course, would be admonished by the court for contacting a subject, even a witness who had an attorney, who would ask an attorney to be contacted. And they would be admonished by the court, and at some point, sanctioned.
Now,
but he feels perfectly, you know, free to swing away.
Okay. Speculation on my part. Do you think he feels that you would be intimidated by direct communication from him, and that he views you as an itty bitty website that's going to roll over because you don't have the legal resources of the New York Times or the Hearst Corporation that has battled for the two reporters who have exposed the Barry Bonds case?
Potentially. There's a right way, there's a wrong way, and there's the Army way. And I think he's under orders. I think he's been ordered to get this done. And I think his response is what his response must be in the United States Army: sir, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And if that requires calling me at home, the Army's not fazed by that.
Yeah. They have called you at home?
Oh, absolutely. Well, obviously there's the old cell phone. So.
Yeah, okay. And, Mark Ash, what can we do?
You know what?
Citizens, listeners.
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Yeah.
In fact, they have not called me at home. It was an email communication. That was me misspeaking, and I want to clarify the record.
Okay, we got that.
Okay.
We're even. What can we do?
Well, at this point, I think it's important for the public to be aware of what's happening. I think, sure, at this point, you're dealing with Aaron Watada, who is what I consider to be a very brave young man. You're dealing with four journalists and an organization that certainly are feeling the heat and the pressure. But I think in a broader sense, it's our civil liberties and the importance of a free press to a free society. Without a free press, you really can't have a free society. So I think that we need to be aware of what the military is doing in this case, what our government is doing in this case, and stay active, which is what we encourage our readership to do at all times. and just, you know, write letters, make phone calls, stay active, be aware, keep an eye out.
Well, I also will personally advocate that the Democratic leadership rising in Washington makes a priority of a federal shield law for journalists. It's way overdue, and we have seen such abuse in the past year and a half that it's time to fix it.
Okay.
Do you support that?
I do. Again, you know, I find myself with one foot on one side of that line and one foot on the other because, you know, we worked so hard on the Rove case, and we saw so much of what Mr. Rove and his associates were trying to keep in the closet and under the rug and what they would do. And you know, I guess, where do you draw the line? And you have to have a bright line. What can a journalist do? Can a journalist never be compelled to testify at all? And if they can, under what circumstances?
We're going to let that question linger and percolate. Mark Ash, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Peter, thank you.
Mark Ash, truthout.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Which speech will it be? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. President Bush's next move in Iraq is the mystery of the moment. He says he's received the message from the Iraq Study Group, but it's pretty clear he doesn't like it, probably because it's missing a very important phrase.
Nothing less than complete victory.
My guess is the president won't give his big speech until his speechwriters include those words. And according to the Los Angeles Times, the victory option is exactly what the generals at the Pentagon are presenting to him today. Here's how it would work. American forces would do what Iraqi forces haven't, confront the 60,000-man Shiite army of Muqtada al-Sadr in Baghdad and beat them. Confront the Sunni death squads in Anbar province and beat them. And then, with the religious fanatics out of commission, start flooding Iraq with job offers for idle young men to get them off the streets and back into those abandoned factories. It's been dubbed the double-down option because it's a gamble and because it would require at least 40,000 more U.S. troops. Now, I'm sure many of you think the president would be crazy to do this because it flies in the face of the Iraq Study Group's recommendation to put diplomacy ahead of weaponry. But if you were president, which kind of speech would you want to give? One that sounds like James Baker?
If you implement the recommendations we make, the chances for success will be improved.
Or would you prefer to go on TV and give a speech that sounds like this guy?
We have been described as a nation of weaklings. Let them tell that to the Marines.
Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show in your earbuds, on the car radio, or on those itty-bitty speakers in your computer. And I'm glad you're listening. 33 minutes after the hour. And when I was growing up back in Cincinnati, Ohio, during the Cold War, shortly after we stocked our basement bomb shelter, my mother announced that she wanted to study Russian. And it raised some eyebrows among our friends who were members of the John Birch Society. But every Thursday night, Mom would go down to the local high school and study Paruski. And I picked up a little of the guttural pronunciation. I'm able to count to two. Odin, Dva. And since then, our good friend Larissa Alexandrovna has been helping me, a little tutoring on my Russian pronunciations. And I think I've got Alexander Litvinenko down cold.
I think so, too.
I'm feeling much better about that, Larissa. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm not at a sushi bar.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it was my birthday dinner, so.
Yeah? When was your birthday?
Well, my birthday was a week after that. It was on December 7th.
Oh, okay. Well,
day that will live in infamy.
Yes, and belated happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you.
Now, the Litvinenko story appears to have a half-life a little longer than Polonium-210. This case just keeps going on, and you've been delving into it. What do we need to know? I've got some clippings here. Hospitalizations in Hamburg tied to radiation trial. The story of Yegor Galdar. And then your posts about the FSB and some of the other theories that are lurking around. Where should we focus first, Larissa?
Well, I'd focus on the actual news, which is what my last article. I did an article on Monday on this case. And I don't know if any other journalists are actually investigating this in the U.S.,
But abroad,
they're doing a very, very good job, despite the Kremlin disinformation organs. So,
and you've uncovered a British security and risk management firm called Aranis. Is that how it's pronounced?
Aranis. Uh-huh.
Aranis.
Yeah, they're named after the Greek Furies, the tormenting goddesses.
Mm-hmm. Aranis International Limited.
Correct. And they're actually guarding the Halliburton pipeline. They provide security services.
Mm-hmm. You mean mercenaries?
Yeah, they're like Blackwater, exactly.
Okay.
Right. I was told about, actually before I even went on the air that night with you, I had one source who told me that Alexander Litvinenko was working for Aranis. But it wasn't until late last week that I got a confirmation, and so this article ran on Monday, and basically I'm told he was contracted to them and helping them make friendships, acquaintances, and such inside Moscow, or mm-hmm. rather, pardon me, inside Russia, business connections and such. And so the two associates with whom he met on several occasions leading up to his November 1st hospitalization, were going back and forth to London. At least one of the reasons, for sure, is that they were having these meetings on behalf of Aranis with Litvinenko. But actually there was one meeting where they were on, or pardon me, rather, in Aranis' office in Piccadilly,
mm-hmm.
and that's also one place where there was contamination found.
Right.
So, you know, whether this is, you know, a major clue in terms of what's going on or not, I don't know. But it certainly does start to lay out the groundwork that there's probably several layers of criminal activity going on here. There wasn't just an assassination. There was something else also going on
mm-hmm.
that may or may not be related. probably more related than not related.
So just from your article at Raw Story, a little background on Erinyes. It was founded in 2002 by two guys, Sean Clary, a South African apartheid-era official with ties to Angolan right-wing extremist Jonas Savimbi, and Jonathan Garrett, a former British Guards officer. And you report Clary left the firm in October of 2003. Garrett has strong ties to Ahmed Chalabi, a notorious source of Iraq pre-war WMD fabrications, and the guy we thought we were going to install in Baghdad.
Right.
And you point out that Garrett has managed to land an $86 million contract to guard Iraqi oil pipelines. So they're embedded.
Yeah, they are very embedded, considering that they've, you know, were started only 4 years ago and only a year before the war. That's a considerable contract to land.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that has to do with Garrett's relationship with Salman Chalabi, who's the nephew of Ahmed Chalabi.
Okay.
So, it's definitely a bizarre situation. What it actually means in terms of the assassination, that remains to be discovered. But I think it's an interesting new development.
Now, Larissa, if you and I had a similar company and we wanted to break into the Russian market,
right,
would we use a former KGB agent who's at odds with Vladimir Putin, the iron-fisted ruler of this alleged democracy?
Well, it depends on who the business people were. Let's remember he's also former FSB, and most of his associates, if we rewind a little bit, there was a period where Putin and all of these nefarious different players were all on the same side. The oligarchs, the mafia, and the government were all one entity, including the Chechen mafia, were all, on the same side. And then they sort of all broke up into these various factions. Now, there are still former KGB, FSB people in Russia who have interests, in starting various businesses. So there's no reason to believe that these guys coming to London, to work with Erinyes, that doesn't necessarily mean that Moscow would know that Litvinenko was setting up the meetings or brokering the deals.
Okay. I mean, I would assume that Putin knows everything.
Well, that's assuming a lot.
Is it?
I think he knows, as much as any foreign government can know. But that doesn't mean that these guys weren't taking precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's a football game going around this on at the same time. These guys can justify half their visits. They can also be going to meet with actual Erinyes leadership. And no one has to know that Litvinenko brokered the deal. I mean, I would think that even though Litvinenko was being surveilled, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that these guys knew that, he had brokered, or rather the Russians knew that he had brokered the deal. So, no, he wasn't traveling himself to Moscow. These guys were coming to London.
Okay. Now, you report under the heading Caught in the Middle of a Turf War? You cite an unnamed U.S. intelligence official suggesting that Litvinenko was trying to get this company, Erinyes, a security contract with one of the state-owned energy firms.
Right.
Now, once again, that is something that Putin would likely be informed of, wouldn't you think?
Well, that's interesting because that's one of the things that has been pointed out as maybe an additional motive, or the urgency for the assassination and the way it was done was that, Erinyes was stepping over turf that didn't belong, that they shouldn't be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And and would Putin have been informed? I don't know, because remember, up until yesterday, Shell was still controlling, had some controlling interest in some of the energy, or at least one of the energy companies. So there, you have all these different intermediaries that don't necessarily, you don't necessarily have to show that it was Litvinenko, or anyone could argue that the Kremlin was sanctioning business deals for itself with Erinyes or Shell, and not knowing that there were these other sub-deals going on. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities as to why this was allowed. But as of yesterday, Shell's been kicked out, so which is another interesting development, because they had already invested a great deal of money. So I'm not sure what's going on with their energy market over there, but certainly you're right. It raises a lot of questions in terms of how many people are involved, who were the middlemen, what exactly were these business dealings that Aronese and these two associates of Litvinenko's, who are also now apparently poisoned, what they were involved in. Because remember, the theory that it, you know, or not the theory, but certainly the opinion of this particular source with regard to it being an energy type of agreement, it's just one possibility. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what was going on. For all we know, they could have been running drugs, you know? Mm-hmm. So we simply just don't know what the arrangement with Aronese was, or, you know, was playing out to be.
Yeah. They had a laughable apologist for Putin on the NewsHour. I believe it was last night, if not the night before. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he said with a straight face that both murder of Politkovskaya, the journalist,
Politkovskaya, right,
and the death of Litvinenko were just crimes. Just happened.
Right. Well, this is a problem because I don't think the West, or at least in the United States, most people are aware of just how many of these quote-unquote crimes have been happening and at the types of officials that have been killed and how they've been killed. You've got people of the status of Nancy Pelosi, for example, a woman who was also shot near her home. Sorry, I'm trying to find her name right now just so I can give it to you.
Is this a member of the Duma?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm scrolling down to try to get her name because I always forget her name. I apologize.
Okay.
But she was very critical of these guys, and she too was, shot point blank, like Politkovskaya,
mm-hmm.
and in her apartment building, just like the journalist was. So,
yeah.
You know, something truly bizarre is going on when so many people are being assassinated and they're this visible. Galina Starovotnova.
Okay. I can't help you.
Starovotnova. There it is. I got it. Galina Starovotnova. She was a high visibility target. She was she was a very beloved member of the Duma,
mm-hmm.
but she was also very visible and a leading member who was very critical of the FSB, and she was shot point blank. And then you've got another example where, imagine for example that after the 9/11 attacks, there's, you know, the commission's formed, and the co-chairman of the commission is, you know, assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened there. Sergei Yushchenkov was shot point blank in front of his apartment house. The crime hasn't been solved, nor were there any real investigations subsequently into the 1999 bombings that went on in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this must have a chilling effect on Russian citizens of all kinds, thinking
they're killing journalists, they're killing politicians, they're killing, you know, and so this, you know, the argument being made over here and certainly being circulated in Europe is, you know, why would Putin do this or have this done? Why would FSB in such an obvious way? Well, because they've always been doing it this way. It's just this particular incident with Litvinenko happened in Britain. But listen, they assassinated a guy in Qatar who was on the run. He was a Chechen poet and leader. He was assassinated in Qatar where he was hiding out. And, you know, there's other journalists, one of whom also assassinated in a really bizarre way, became very, very ill very rapidly, turned out was poisoned with thallium.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return to probe this story a little further, the death of Alexander Litvinenko and the different paths that it leads to. Our guest is Larissa Alexandrovna. She writes for RawStory.com, The Huffington Post, and At Largely is her blog. Check it out. More in a moment. Your calls and comments welcome to 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay Area. Good news is we're not dealing with any stalls or accidents as of yet. Keep your fingers crossed. It is starting to load up, though. Eastbound and westbound Highway 156 between Castroville and San Juan Bautista, not too much of a big surprise there. Eastbound Highway 183 getting a little more sluggish between Castroville and Salinas. Brake lights we're seeing now southbound along Highway 1 from Ocean Street in Santa Cruz to 41st in Capitola. Mentioned before, Highway 17 was pretty sluggish over the Summit area. It's been a little slippery as well. This look at traffic brought to you again by Toys R Us. It's the Toys R Us two-day holiday sale, and it goes on this Friday and Saturday with up to 50% off hot toys from brands like Cars, Thomas the Tank, Fisher-Price, Bratz, Play School, and more. And it is only at Toys R Us. That's the world's greatest toy store. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Minutes away from the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. They named it after me, isn't that nice? We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing news editor at RawStory.com, and the web of a story about Alexander Litvinenko, former KGB operative, murdered in London using polonium-210. And it was a grisly death to see the pictures of him on his deathbed is... Well, it's pretty stunning. And Larissa, during the break, I was fumbling around trying to remember the name of this other member of the Duma who was interviewed on the PBS report that, of course, originated with a British broadcasting concern. And I think his name is Ryzhkov or something close to that.
Okay. And yeah, I didn't see. You said it was on last night, and I didn't.
Yeah. He's a pro-democracy guy, and he made the point that there is a, you know, more than a chilling effect from this series of suspicious deaths.
Oh, yeah.
And that it basically... is sending the message that if you're part of the corrupt business regimes in Russia, or if you are part of the hardline elements of the Putin regime, you're having a great time, and you're ice skating on Red Square. They have a place like Rockefeller Center set up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you're worried that you could be next.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, and I've talked to journalists in Moscow who, you know, are very reluctant to discuss anything going on with the FSB. One I talked to actually has been recently in prison, and I don't want to get into specifics, but... I mean, they've chilled everybody, and the fact that there's even a question as to could Putin have done this is what's alarming to me, because, yes, they've been doing this for quite some time. I'm not sure what it was about the Litvinenko case, whether it was because it was in Britain or because it was the polonium was discovered being used,
mm-hmm.
because it has been used, although... No one will tell me specifics about when or where. It's a general belief in the intelligence communities, the various ones, that polonium has, in fact, been used in the past. So I'm not sure what's catapulted the Litvinenko case all over the globe like this, but there's you know, little interest in the United States for some reason, and there should be a lot of interest because, you know, these guys have... their own circles here, and if they could do this on British soil, they'll do it here too.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is generally what's known as terrorism.
Well, and this is the kind of story that the British press just loves, and they have a pretty vibrant and competitive print community or
sure.
Industry in England, and I think that's what's driving a lot of this coverage. Would you agree?
I don't know if that's what's driving it necessarily, because remember, this week we heard about Diana being wiretapped illegally by the U.S., and still this was the top story. So I don't think it's because of that. I think it's really because it's, you know, really the first nuclear terrorist attack, you know, that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a nuclear attack, and it could have... potentially compromised a lot of people and been a major health risk. It certainly has left a trail that's gone from, you know, Moscow to Germany, and we don't know where else. So I think that's what's caught everyone's attention, is because it really is a terrorist attack,
mm-hmm.
and it's using a nuclear weapon. Probably the best reason I can think of over there. Over mm-hmm. here, why it hasn't caught on is something I can't answer. It seems bizarre to me, but it's...
Well, it's because the bozo-in-chief is getting tutored on Iraq, and we all have to, you know, sit back and watch it.
Yeah, but, I mean, even it's remarkable to me that our own government isn't even commenting on this. You know, I
well,
mean,
come
this,
on. He looked Putin in the eye and decided he's somebody he can deal with. Yeah.
Right.
Now, what about Yegor Gaidar? He is a former Russian prime minister.
Correct.
And he collapsed in Ireland on November 24th. He has alleged that he was poisoned, but to my knowledge, reports haven't indicated whether it was polonium or exactly what the agent was there.
Well, whatever it was, he's now saying Putin would never do such a thing. Of course, he was treated in a Moscow hospital. So... I don't think we'll ever know what happened there, and they've released him, but I don't know if he got as much of a dosage or what was used. But certainly something happened to him that caused him to vomit blood and have nose come out of or blood come out of his nose.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is there were reports that there were four Irish guests at the Millennium Hotel, which is where the major source or the major trail of the contamination begins. It's like the ground zero of the contamination, and it's believed where Litvinenko was poisoned, not at the sushi bar. And, you know, so they're questioning these four Irishmen who were there at the same exact time and left after Litvinenko died, I mean that day, and were in Dublin on the day that Gaidar became ill. So if the British are looking at that, then something's connecting here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was more interested and still am, frankly, in two things, and that is the Italian, that's Mario Scaramella.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, when I'm told to look at something, that's what I'm going to look at. And also this mercenary company, I'm curious what kind of business dealings they were engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's some pretty shady things going on with this war in Iraq.
Indeed.
And
maybe that's one reason the U.S. is trying to make this a non-issue.
You're talking about a lot of money that disappeared. Where it went, nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, Larissa, we're out of time today, but thank you for digging in and pursuing this. We'll watch for further dispatches, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my friend.
Larissa Alexandrovna, rawstory.com. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Call me, and we'll talk. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. This program is produced by Matt Renner. Get more information, archives, and links to our live stream at peterbcollins.com.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We don't know what happened to Senator Tim Johnson, but his office says he did not have a stroke or a heart attack. The South Dakota Democrat was rushed to a Washington hospital today after developing speech problems during a conference call with news outlets, including CBS Radio's Yankton affiliate WNAX.
The money was proposed to be provided a year ago.
Larry Dirksen of affiliate KOTA was also on the call.
I think the rest of the reporters online at that time felt something was going on when he tried to ask for more questions, couldn't get that out too well.
Johnson's press secretary says he walked back to his office after the call but didn't look well. If Johnson were to be incapacitated, the Republican governor of South Dakota could appoint a replacement, and that would deprive the Democrats of their newly won majority. President Bush has a message for the troops in Iraq.
I'm listening to a lot of advice to develop a strategy to help you succeed.
Mr. Bush spent 2 hours at the Pentagon today, but said he's not going to be rushed into any decisions on strategy.
I put off my speech, and one of the main reasons why is I really do want the new Secretary of Defense to have time to get to know people and hear people and be a part of this deliberation, and he will not be sworn in until next Monday.
CBS News has learned that one likely outcome is a surge of 15,000 to 20,000 U.S. troops to secure Baghdad. Federal health investigators have focused on a new culprit in the Taco Bell E. coli outbreak.
We think that the lettuce is the likely vehicle, although we're still continuing our investigation to make sure that we can confirm that.
Dr. Christopher Braden at the Centers for Disease Control. Taco Bell President Greg Creed says they've gotten a new supplier for lettuce, but it's not coming off the menu.
It's not necessary for us to remove lettuce, and lettuce is on 70% of the product that is sold at Taco Bell, but it's not necessary to do so. We've already made the switch of suppliers, we said, along with the other produce supply in the four states that have been affected.
Actor Peter Boyle has died after battling multiple myeloma and heart disease. He played Frank Barone in the hit TV comedy Everybody Loves Raymond. Over a career that spanned decades, Boyle played everything from Senator Joseph McCarthy to the monster in Young Frankenstein. Leonard Maltin is film critic for Entertainment Tonight.
He was a versatile actor, though I think he tended to play ordinary guys, everyday guys, the blue-collar guy.
Boyle was the only Raymond cast member who never won an Emmy, but he got one for a guest appearance on The X-Files. He was 71. The Dow up nearly 2 points to close at 12,317. The Nasdaq gained a fraction today. It finished at 2,432. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Looks like happy holidays for retailers. The Commerce Department says retail sales jumped 1% in November, the biggest increase since July. But at the same time, many Americans are spending. Some have trouble making their mortgage payments. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has that.
Two trends reported by the Mortgage Bankers Association. Delinquency rates are up. It's now almost 5% of people whose payment is 30 days or more past due. This appears to be homeowners who stretch their budgets to buy with adjustable rate loans. The rates went up. They can't keep up. However, in this past week, the number of refinance applications rose sharply. The lenders say people are realizing rates have fallen. Most are going for fixed rates this time. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Dr. Jack Kevorkian has served more than 8 years for helping a terminally ill man commit suicide. Now, Michigan prison officials say he'll be paroled in June. Kevorkian is 78 now and in poor health. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Well, we're here with CompUSA technology expert Meg Pixel.
Hi, Bob.
Meg, I'm looking for a holiday gift for my nephew Kyle, the would-be world adventurer.
Would-be?
Well, he hasn't left his kitchen in 2 years.
How about the new HP Pavilion dual-core notebook? 15-inch display, 80-gig hard drive, a gig of memory, just $629.99.
That's great.
Get him everything he needs with a complete gift pack and save. Buy a notebook and save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more. There are many complete gift packs to choose from.
If he ever leaves his kitchen, he'll love it.
If?
Yeah, he lives for ham.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after anyone on your gift list. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send you an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome this entire hour. I've got lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, and people do. For example, here's one that came in regarding our first hour guest, Peter Lance, today. I know that some people are going to be upset with what he had to say, and if you want to comment on that, feel free to share your feelings. I was a little frustrated, frankly. Peter Lance is a brilliant reporter. He's got a lot of information, but he gives really long answers. When I finally asked him for short responses to Building 7, to the towers, to the Pentagon, he got rather defensive, and you could hear in his exchange with our caller Dave, who was very level and I thought quite rational, that Peter Lance got a little worked up. and said that he resents these questions that come in that take what he considers to be his mainstream criticisms of 9/11, the 9/11 Commission, and all the related aspects, and lumps it together with fringies who think that there were no airplanes, there were, you know, the real extreme stuff. And I found that interesting and illuminating. And I got two email responses. One from, let's see who the correspondent here is. It's Murph. And Murph writes that from the Counterpunch website, there are two comments about the free fall of the Twin Towers. One, the dynamic force created out of the gravitational potential energy within the space of just one level spacing was far in excess of the static force the framing was designed to support. I'm not sure what that means. And elastic waves launched from the collapse front quickly filled the building, both lower structure and upper block, with large dynamic stresses, which weakened and ruptured the joints well in advance of that material entering the collapse front. The tower shattered, and the pieces fell to the ground. Well, that's not sufficient for me. And these are more theoretical arguments. What Peter Lance offered for the first time of my hearing it is that the building materials of the Twin Towers had been watered down, had been weakened by corrupt builders, and that that's one of the unexplained or, you know, uncited reasons. I still don't buy it. And Dave from the Pinnacles echoed my thoughts when he said, yeah, but those buildings should have gotten rigid and firm somewhere before the whole debris field hit the ground. Floor 20, floor 40, somewhere in there, the heat would have dissipated, and the, you know, sheer pile of rubble that was coming down from the top should have turned into a pile of rubble instead of collapsing floor by floor in the pancake manner that we are familiar with from the videos. So I remain unconvinced, and I am looking for the truth. And here's another comment from Nori, waiting for the email to pop up here. Hi, Peter B. I dislike the author of Triple Cross. He talks like he could be on the CIA payroll. Thanks for talking to him, though. Your listener, Nori. Well, thank you, Nori. I appreciate that. And if you have a comment about Peter Lance and about his reporting on 9/11, I invite you to call here at the Peter B. Collins Show at 888-5-PETER-B. One more item before we go to the phones. That is the delicate Democratic majority of the United States Senate may be unraveled even before oaths of office are taken on January 4th. Because Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota suffered a stroke today and was taken to a Washington hospital. Now, it doesn't sound dire at this point. The reports are that he's undergoing an evaluation. They say it's a possible stroke. It was caught very early. He is recovering from prostate cancer surgery in 2004. And so there's no imminent report that he will not be able to serve and that he won't, in fact, take office for his next term. Well, he's in the middle of a term right now, so he doesn't need to be sworn in. But whether or not he will be able to report for duty in January is an open question, and we'll watch that carefully for further developments. Now to your phone calls. Up first, we have Richard in Morgantown, North Carolina. Hello, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. Nice to talk with you, Mr. Collins.
You bet. Call me Peter.
Oh, Peter. You know, I was going to make a comment about the Russian thing that you were talking about earlier, and I had to ask your telephone person, you know, what...
That's the amazing Matt Renner.
Matt Renner?
Yeah.
Then Matt helped me out, because although I've read many articles about it, I always forget his name.
Litvinenko.
Yes, he told me how to pronounce it, too, which I still can't do right.
Roll it off right now. Try it.
Lipsenyenko?
Litvinenko.
Litvinenko.
There you go. You're getting there.
Ah, okay. Well,
Paruski, it's easy.
Ah, thank you. Well, in any case, though, you started talking about 911, and I'm one of those 911 weirdos, so it's hard for me not to respond to those issues.
Well, go ahead.
Well, let's see now. All of the things that I've read so far show me that NIST, the National Institute, gave up on the pancake idea, but went to a progressive collapse theory.
Yeah.
Which also doesn't fit the physics. unfortunately for the government, but okay for the truthers.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the various government claims have all been debunked pretty well by scholars for 911 Truth.
I agree.
And
where we are in this awful, awful black hole.
That's right.
Because every turn we make to try to debunk what has been told to us leads us into a much darker set of possibilities.
Yes,
and so, for example, I don't take any pleasure in raising the question, did a plane hit the Pentagon, and was it Flight 77? All I can tell you is that the evidence that has been presented to date is not persuasive, and that if they wanted to resolve this, I believe our government should have the evidence to persuade you and me that it was Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon. And if they could prove that, then we wouldn't have to go into dark theories about what happened in Cleveland and where is Barbara Olson and, you know, all of these things that, that really can mess up the mind. I'm trying to speak in a way that won't get me arrested by the FCC. But it really does F with your mind, if you know what I mean.
No, I know exactly what you mean, and when you begin to consider what the implications are of 911 being a complicit operation with the government, then it takes you down, unfortunately, that rabbit hole into all of those other things about the government and how we're really pretty easily manipulated. And that does take me back to Litvinenko. Litvinenko, if I may. You know, I read a lot of stuff about that, and I can't help wondering, you know, as Putin, and I don't like Putin particularly, but he is trying to get the Russia and also the Asian areas to serve as a bulwark against the hegemonists, unfortunately, who run our country. And I can't really blame him for that. I would do the same if I were in his position, probably, in terms of trying to get stuff together. But I can't imagine that he would take the hit publicity-wise about trying to assassinate this guy when he's trying to consolidate power within the European area, both in terms of the energy that he sells to them and other arrangements that he has with those folks.
Well, to your first point, there isn't a recent Russian or Soviet leader who I felt, you know, warm and fuzzy about. But I agree that Putin, you know, can play an important role in trying to offset the U.S.'s abuse of power and its adventures of the past few years. That said, he's a former KGB guy, and
yes.
I have no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt in terms of using the, you know, most ruthless methods available to him.
Of course not. Then may I insert something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Certainly he'll be ruthless, but he won't be stupid. I never would think that Putin is a particularly stupid person, and to assassinate that guy would have been a stupid thing to do, geopolitically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can't buy it.
Yeah. All right.
That's the more important motive.
Richard, you make a good point, and I appreciate having you listening. Thanks for the call today.
Thanks much.
This just in, the office of Tim Johnson is denying that he has a stroke. The Associated Press reporting a spokesman for the senator said he did not suffer a stroke or heart attack, contrary to initial reports. He is speaking and is expected to be fine. I hope that's the case, and if I alarmed you unnecessarily, you have my deep apology. There's one line open if you'd like to join this conversation in the Free Speech Zone. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing.
Let's take a look at your drive home in and around the Monterey Bay area. Not doing too badly, except for the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's been a difficult drive and remains to be so. Northbound along Highway 17 after the summit, it's our latest solo vehicle spin out. It hit the center divide at this point, and there may be some minor injuries involved. So watch for the emergency crews as they head out, and we may need a tow truck as well. Now, that's not the first spin out we've had today. It's a very difficult drive. Meanwhile, still brake lights for southbound Highway 1 between Ocean Street and Santa Cruz and 41st Street in Capitola. Eastbound Highway 25, a little slower now between Gilroy and Hollister. Also slowing both sides of Highway 68 between Monterey and Salinas. This look brought to you again by Toys R Us. It's the Toys R Us two-day holiday sale this Friday and Saturday with up to 50% off from toys like brands like Cars, Thomas the Tank, Fisher-Price, Bratz, Play School, and more. Only at Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 20 minutes past the hour as we continue in the free speed zone. When somebody hangs up, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Back to your calls in just a second. Two items I wanted to mention here. I am delighted to read in the New York Times today that House Democrats, including the new Speaker Nancy Pelosi, are seriously considering an outside ethics panel because of the flat-out failure of the House Ethics Committee. I know I could say it. After all, this is the committee that has never once convened to talk about the Jack Abramoff scandal, even as two people have gone to jail for, one has and one will. So this is good news and also a credit to Melanie Sloan and the people at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Also, I want to acknowledge a statement issued by the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And it is in relation to what I called the Holocaust Denial Games in Tehran, where David Duke represented the United States. And CARE issued this statement. No legitimate cause or agenda can ever be advanced by denying or belittling the immense human suffering caused by the murder of millions of Jews and other minority groups by the Nazi regime and its allies during World War II. Cynical attempts to use Holocaust denial as a political tool in the Middle East conflict will only serve to deepen the level of mistrust and hostility already present in that troubled region. I'm delighted to see this, and I'm happy to read it, because all too often we hear people complain that responsible Muslims don't separate themselves from the more extreme Muslims. And here we have a clear case of that, and I'm pleased to share that with you. Back to your calls now, and Joe in Phoenix. Hi, you're on the air.
Is this me?
Hi, Joe, it's you.
Yes, it's hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
I was listening with great interest the lady who was talking about what was going on in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does is she really shows how a group of people can be placed in great fear that they become just paralyzed. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
Politicians, journalists, the public. And that's in Russia. But you know what, Peter? I'm sorry to say I believe the same thing is true here in America.
We're getting there.
No, we are there. I mean, let's look at it this way. We can't. Our Congress can't even use its own ethics committee. It has to go to outside help to do that.
Yeah.
Our Congress was afraid to say, no, you shouldn't stay in war. Our Congress is afraid to tell the truth. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Our Congress is afraid to tell the truth, Peter, about a lot of things that are going on. And I thought that was interesting that CARE came out and spoke for the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
and the history of the Holocaust, because I think that was the only important and just and humane thing to do. But who has been speaking about the injustice that's been going on to the Palestinians? Only Jimmy Carter has. He came out here and spoke, and he got protested here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, and likewise, now, I get protest emails whenever I offer a point of view that isn't 100% support of Israel without asking questions.
Well, and you know, that's a shame, and I'm glad that you and a few others have the courage to do that. We have a talk show host here in Phoenix who I think is a superb talk show host. He prides himself on being independent, and I know him personally. He's a great talk show host. But I sense a reticence to criticize some of the policies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it we can criticize the policies of the United States of America, but we don't dare criticize the policies of Israel? I mean, the media, the radio stations, the TV stations don't want to do that because then they'll get boycotted and they'll lose advertisement. Congress doesn't want to do that. I was reading something from the Council for the National Interest today that James Abarusk, who's a former senator, made some comments, and he says, you know, I was there and I saw what went on and I saw how people kowtowed to the Israeli lobby. But in the cloakrooms and behind the scenes, they criticized how they were intimidated. They didn't dare speak against the Israeli lobby or anything that Israel wanted, because then there would be a mass mass effort to get to use influence and power and money to run somebody else to run against them.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, this is serious. This is scary. This is the worst thing affecting our society. And I'm not saying this to be anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. But you know what? If Israel's wrong, or some of its policies are wrong, or some of the people who support them who happen to be Jewish are wrong, then we need to say it. If America's wrong, we need to say it. And if we look the other way, we're going to, you know, all these problems in the Middle East, you can talk about Iraq, you can talk about Iran, all these problems in the Middle East stem in a large part to America's one-sided support of Israel.
Joe, you said it very well. Thank you for your call today. Now to DJ in Phoenix. Hello, DJ. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., great program. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thanks. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Well, God bless you then. couple free things, and I just heard a couple of folks talking. We forget our history in a hurry. About 3.5 years ago, our wonderful Mr. Putin decided that the young gentleman running the oil industry over there was outspoken against the Putin administration. And so, and he had millions of dollars to boot. They put him in solitary. He's been there for 3.5 years.
That's
so don't forget what Putin does.
You're talking about Khodorkovsky?
And anyway, we've never heard another word about anything from him.
Mm-hmm.
Other than they signed off the paperwork in a disguised manner to turn it over to the government because of the auditing. You know, that's all a bunch of fluff there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me move on to just one or two other little things. One being in today's Republic, you can get it on azcentral.com. In the business section, there's an article, and it comes from General Dynamics. They were awarded a $300 million plus contract today for portable investigation stations to the Marine Corps. It deciphers terrain, other forces in certain areas, that this is start to set in July of 07, and the last shipment to be sent in June of 09. And all of these are being sent to Iraq.
And what are they? They're mobile command posts?
You got it. Exactly right. They'll check out terrain, force movement, other climactic situations. They've already had one shipment that was sent previously that was ordered from GD. And so General Dynamics now is going to send over another large batch.
What are these, like large RVs that are hardened, armored RVs of some kind?
No, I can't give you hard specifics other than I believe what they are is units. You may pull them on a trailer or whatnot, hide them in a certain area, and then the electronic eavesdropping or electronic componentry that they have, which I'm not up to speed on that, will allow you to know what the enemy is doing. The thing I find most interesting is it's going to Iraq.
Yeah.
So don't tell me, Mr. Bush, that you haven't made up your mind yet when you just let the Marine Corps have a $300 million contract with General Dynamics for the next 2 years in Iraq.
DJ, thanks for bringing that to our attention.
You.
And the president, of course, is going to have to chill at Crawford with his mountain bike and do some brush clearing so he can figure out the way forward in Iraq. It is just bizarre. We take a break and return for more of your phone calls. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready!
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government.
I believe
believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Time for more now of the Peter B. Collins Show.
One.
Would somebody please make sure this song gets installed on W's iPod?
Never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time to go home, to take our boys away.
That's Michael Franti and Spearhead. My sentiments musically presented. Lines open for you in the free speed zone at 888-5 Peter B. Up next, it's Peter in Chicago. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing again today?
Doing all right, sir. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, I kind of just wanted to make a couple little comments, especially one about your guest. He brought up many interesting points, but I was a little perturbed at his constant dismissal of other people's ideas, whether or not he agreed with them or not, that, you know, that they're like hodgepodge and not even worth, you know, consideration, discussion. And
well, you know, this is kind of building right now. I'm a big fan of The Nation magazine, and the new issue arrived, and there's a story attempting to debunk those of us seeking the truth about 9/11. And I'm not terribly impressed with the scholarship in the story.
I agree with you. I've read the same article, and same one was also on counterpunch.org.
Well, Alexander Coburn is also offering, you know, not only that he personally rejects some of these theories, but, you know, they've really degenerated into name-calling and trying to cast those of us who are still asking these questions as some kind of weirdos or wackos. And there are weirdos and wackos pursuing the truth alongside people like you and me, Peter.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I asked Peter Lance, you know, and he didn't really hear the question, but how do we come up with a way to vet who are responsible critics or skeptics of the 9/11 stories we've been told, and who are the irresponsible ones?
Yeah, you know, just because somebody's a little weird or whatever doesn't mean that the questions they pose aren't valid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my questions I've always wanted to ask people like that, and I tried calling in while he was online, but unfortunately I didn't get a chance to talk, was how little is attention is paid to the sale of all of the steel from the World Trade Center disaster, how quickly it was sold,
right,
and the New York City's mayor, his flippant remark about, well, you really don't even need, you don't need the steel to do any real studies as to find out what happened. You know, these can all be done in computer models. And I find that absolutely ridiculous comment by somebody
and
so educated.
Yeah, and we have to look at this in the big picture, okay? This is an administration built on lies and secrecy. And to expect that 9/11 was a freestanding event that occurred without any involvement, complicity, or knowledge of the Bush administration is very hard to accept when you see how they have operated in virtually every other sphere. And they lie, they dissemble, they offer positions that don't have any real relationship to the truth, and they try to bluster and spin their way through just about everything. And so when, you know, we're fed this BS about 9/11, and you got a guy like Peter Lance who's saying, well, I am the keeper of the truth here. I know what is truth and what is wacko. He acknowledged that he doesn't know about Building 7, and that's a really good question. And then in the next breath, he dismissed virtually all questions about the Twin Towers.
Yes, and I would just like to remind all the listeners, if they just want to do a little research on their own, governments are capable, or people are in the government are capable of doing all sorts of things. Just read the history behind the Northwoods or North Winds Project, I think.
Northwoods, yeah.
Northwoods in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. You know, this was these were projects that were proposed by our own government people.
Well, and let's not go for the ancient history. I've read Northwoods. I think it's interesting. It's not necessarily evidence that, these kinds of things have been attempted in a more contemporary way. But our own sitting president, in January of 2003, it was January 30th, held a meeting with Tony Blair at the White House, and the gist of the conversation was, we're going to war, but the case isn't very strong. And do we need to gin up some sort of a provocation? And Bush speculated about repainting a plane with United Nations stripes and then shooting it down over Iraq and blaming Saddam Hussein. Now, that came out of this president's mouth in 2003. And so to look at that and then suspect that, there might have been chicanery and government involvement, our government involvement in 9/11, I'm sorry, that's not irrational, it's not wacky, and it's not paranoid. It's dealing with what I consider to be real facts and things that have actually occurred.
Yeah, that's true. And not only that, people... there's a lot of people involved in conspiracies don't actually even have to know that they're part of a conspiracy. They can easily be manipulated, given all of the questions regarding the timing of when 9/11 happened, mm-hmm. with all of those training sessions and the
right. In Lance's book, he goes into greater detail about the war games that were underway on 9/11. There were three different sets. I was aware of one of them previously. So in his own book, he talks about the war games involving hijacked airplanes that were underway on September 11th. At least one of those had been rescheduled to September 11th from a later date. And it caused some of the confusion that, when air traffic controllers said, wow, we better scramble some jets, they call NORAD, and NORAD says, is this a war game or is this real?
Oh, yes. It makes for fascinating reading.
So the bottom line...
Things don't happen. That many things just don't happen coincidentally, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Peter, and let me just offer the flip side so that people can say, hopefully identify that I'm still in touch with reality. To me, the biggest thing that causes doubts about plots regarding 9/11 is the degree of control and secrecy required to pull it off and to keep it under wraps for, 5-plus years now?
Absolutely, and that's they're bringing it upon themselves, all these questions, by the secrecy. That's why I think deep down inside that they're hiding something. It's probably nowhere near what we expected, but there certainly is cause for investigations that, mm-hmm. that I hope to God the Democrats will go ahead and actually follow through on instead of paying lip service.
Yeah. All right. Well, Peter, I appreciate your call. Before you go, can I ask you to choose the news?
I guess.
I want to bring up one more item here, and there are two competing for my attention. One is about how Dateline NBC supports an anti-pedophile group that appears to be a little off base. And the other is that there is a discussion underway about whether people who are newly prescribed antidepressants should be told that it might lead them to suicidal feelings.
I would take the second.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Have a nice day.
You bet. So the discussion here is that it's now been documented, at least anecdotally, that when people first go on some of the SSRI drugs, the serotonin receptor drugs, I think that's what they're called, like Wellbutrin, Paxil, what's that? Say it again, Matt. Oh, I thought he was talking to me. Yeah, those drugs. Often when people are first adjusting to them, they have strong tendencies or feelings about suicide. And this has been, again, documented anecdotally. And the drug companies are trying to figure out, along with the FDA, whether people should be warned about that. And psychiatrists are saying, well, wait a minute, if we do that, people who are deeply depressed, who really need these medications, will avoid taking them because they're scared off by the warnings. Well, doctor, the Hippocratic Oath says, first, do no harm. I come down firmly on the side of disclosure. And if people decide not to take those drugs, that is their choice. And I back that choice up. Let's see who's next here. It's Steve in Soledad. Steve, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. I wanted to talk to your other guest earlier, to Peter Lance. I see four possible levels of Bush culpability in 9/11.
Okay.
One, and this is the best case for them, is they just ignored a whole bunch of warnings. Two is they knew it was going to happen and did nothing. Three, they helped. And four, they instigated it. And I don't know which one it is, but there needs to be an investigation to find out.
Yeah.
And can I...
Well, can I just tell you, you just summed it up in four bullet points very succinctly, and I thank you for that.
Okay, one more quick point here.
Sure.
I'm really concerned about the Democrats and the press and their lack of courage, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible that the reason for that is because of all the spying, that Bush knows something about every single one of them that he doesn't want, that they don't want out?
Mm. I hope not.
But is that possible? Because I can't think of any reason why they're so chicken, they're so scared of a president with a 35% approval rating. Why won't they stand up to
it? Well, it's even lower. The poll yesterday showed that a flat 70% of Americans deeply oppose this war and want to get out now. I can only say that it's a good question, sir. I don't have any reason to, support your speculation there, but neither can I disprove it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. Next we go to line two, and it is, I believe, Scott in Phoenix. Hi, Scott. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hello, Peter B. Hey, I heard your very last caller yesterday, and you've corrected a lot of that or responded to a lot of that yesterday. He was an extreme skeptic about the 9/11 issues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And certainly people I associated with Jeff Farias and all of the people in the 9/11 truth movement, they're anything but a bunch of paranoid kooks, are actually people who look very deeply into the issues. I wondered if you are familiar with, or if you've ever had on your show, a guest who Mike Malloy had once, who was quite fascinating, named Webster Tarpley.
No, I don't know Webster Tarpley.
Oh, well, I would recommend him. He's written a book called 9/11 Synthetic Terror, and Mike Malloy commented that was the only guest he ever had on for the entire 3 hours of his program, because mm-hmm. he was so fascinating. But, you know, he deals with the CIA involvement. I think his view is basically that the secret government, the aspects of the government that instigated 9/11 simply went to Bush and Cheney and said, you guys are cooperating or you're out of here. Which do you want? And they went, yes, sir, and they cooperated. That's kind of, I believe that sums up his view.
All right, I've written down 9/11 Synthetic Terror. And the author again?
Webster Tarpley.
Webster Tarpley. Okay, we will investigate that. The way I do this is I'll get a copy of the book and take a look at it, and if it, you know, meets my basic standards, we'll invite him on the program and see what he has to say.
Well, good. He's a very interesting speaker. Well, keep up the good work, Peter.
All right, and thank you for that call. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. We got room here before the end of the hour if you'd like to join this conversation. 888-573-8372. Toll free to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. It really hasn't been that bad a drive today as far as stalls and accidents are concerned. I guess the worry spot the most is along Highway 17. The latest crash we have is northbound along Highway 17 after the Summit area. It's a crash, another solo vehicle spin-out. That has to be the third for today. It now sitting in the center divide. Good news is here, no injuries. A tow truck is needed to take this vehicle away, though. And again, that's not the first accident we've had at that location, so use extra caution up and over Highway 17, of course, in both directions. Meanwhile, southbound Highway 1, a little under the limit between Monterey and the Santa Cruz area. Also, Highway 25 still slow between Gilroy and Hollister. This look is brought to you by Cost Plus World Market. Come to Cost Plus Market for great prices on Sterling Vintners Collection Chardonnay. The rich flavors of green apple, caramel, and vanilla. It's a really tasty deal at just $8.99. Drink responsibly. I'm Alex Daly, KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls here in the free speech zone. And I just wanted to mention this front page story in today's New York Times, which I think raises important questions about NBC's Dateline television show. It's a news magazine show. And their relationship with a group that tries to entrap pedophiles. It's called Perverted Justice. And I caught one of these segments. I don't like Dateline. I don't watch it very often. But I was flipping by on TV one time recently. And I saw a segment where they basically collaborated with Perverted Justice. They created a trap and ensnared some guys who thought they were getting a date and sexual activity with an underage girl. And I'm deeply opposed to pedophilia. And I don't like anybody using the Internet for predatory behavior, whether it's Congressman Mark Foley or just an average Tom, Dick, or Harry. But what Dateline is doing is exploiting, for ratings purposes, the predatory behavior of Perverted Justice. And one critic points out that at the Perverted Justice website, they have detailed transcripts of the email contacts between the alleged pedophiles and the alleged victims who are posing as victims. And one of the critics points out that that material is as pornographic and prurient as the behavior of some of these pedophiles. And to whom does it appeal? Well, I leave it to you to decide, but I encourage you to read that article in the New York Times today. Up next, Chris in Phoenix. Thanks for calling and holding. You're on the air.
Thanks, Peter. It's nice to actually get a chance to talk to you once. I've got a couple quick points. One was on the independent ethics panel you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
On that, I have to wonder if that is actually an attempt by the Democrats to avoid breaking the pact that they have with the Republicans in Congress about no snitching on each other into the ethics panel.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me wonder because it seems like that might be an easy way out to still get some kind of investigations in there.
Well, I have to say I continue to be puzzled as to why the Democrats made a deal with the Republicans to essentially just put the Ethics Committee in mothballs, and then they permitted that to be temporarily breached to bring an election year focus to Mark Foley. And, you know, all of a sudden, the Ethics Committee that couldn't meet to talk about Abramoff, couldn't meet to talk about any of the other big scandals that were breaking. After all, Duke Cunningham was never contacted by the Ethics Committee for any of the issues that got him convicted and sent to jail. So I do not understand that. And I wish I did. That's the best I can say. But you do raise a question that needs to be answered. Are the Democrats trying to come up with a way to deflect these issues without really resolving them? I take Nancy Pelosi at her word. I know her to be a highly ethical individual who was proud to have served on the Ethics Committee in the past. But as the minority leader and now speaker, I look to her to revive the internal ethics process, and I encourage her to pursue this external ethics process as well.
Right. I did have one other quick point. You were talking about the list in Yanko, and your caller, Joe, earlier mentioned one of our talk show hosts here in Phoenix. He happened to have a guest on this morning who was talking about Litvinenko and mentioned that he himself, Litvinenko, was not a pristine character, and that he may actually have had some links to some Chechen segments of Al-Qaeda, and that they were looking for some kind of a dirty bomb weapon, and that they may actually have been using the particular nuclear material that that he was apparently poisoned with.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's even a possibility that he was what you might call a triple agent, and that possibly the rebel factions or whatever you might call them that he was working with may have found that out, and that it may not actually be the Russians or other government or oil organizations in Russia that may mm-hmm. be responsible, but it may actually be the Al-Qaeda type organization.
Well, there's no question Litvinenko had many enemies. Your speculation that he could be a triple agent is not something that would shock me. And clearly, he had a deep-seated enemy in Vladimir Putin. So we'll watch this one and see where the worm turns. Thanks a lot for your call. Line one is Liz in Phoenix. Hello, Liz. You've made it. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter B. It's great to talk to you.
Likewise.
And I appreciate your show. And I just want to give a little plug. Tomorrow, my group and the War Coalition and Code Pink will be out at Senator McCain's office bright and early at 7:30. We're going to do an Abu Ghraib type protest.
Yeah, why don't you bring some loud rock music?
You think I should?
Yeah.
Well, we worked on this and worked on this, so I have to kind of go with my people. And
oh, you've got a recipe. Tell us the recipe.
Yeah, you know, I'll send you some pictures. I'll email you. What's your email?
Peter@peterbcollins.com.
All right. Yeah, we'll send you some really interesting pictures.
All right. What time do you want people to rally at McCain's office?
We're going to be there at 7:30. It's
uh-huh.
going to be a quickie. And we have plenty of signs. Nobody has to bring any. It's going to be a torture, Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo Bay type protest. We're also tying it into his stance with regard to, you know, putting more troops in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be after McCain for the next 2 years.
Excellent.
And I appreciate you giving me this moment, and I do appreciate your show.
All right.
All right. Take care, Peter.
Okay, you've
Bye.
Heard it. Join Liz in the group tomorrow at John McCain's office. Michelle in San Antonio, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter.
You've got a new member of Congress, Ciro...
I know, Ciro Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, there we go.
Yeah, 23.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I mean, Bonilla, what a tool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you, and, you know, being married to active duty military and being here in San Antonio, I have zero stomach for anybody that votes against veterans benefits or things for the troops
mm-hmm.
and then gets a pay raise and then votes for themselves to get a pay raise.
Well,
zero patience for that, and it sickens me, the depth of the hypocrisy in the Republican Party.
Well, and it adds another seat for the Democrats that can only be helpful.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
And especially in Texas, I mean.
Now, that's not why you called. I distracted you, so go ahead.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to pipe in about Webster Tarpley. I'm going to email you a link. I did a series of 9/11 stuff on my website, and I was going to email you the link to that particular segment.
All right. And I just got a note from Matt, our producer, that he's requested the book, so we're on track, and we'll pursue that.
Great. He was one of the four panelists at the 9/11 Truth Symposium that was on C-SPAN.
Oh, okay.
It was in L.A.
I knew it was on. I didn't get to see it.
It's fabulous. I have it on my website, too, so I'll email you that link. You can watch it.
Well, you do that, and I'm just going to spend some time on the web catching up.
Well, geez, you'll never get off the track.
That's true. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks
Trigger's
so much.
Here, and I got to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. Thanks for another great edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. You are what makes it great, you and your phone calls and your emails. Thank you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson was rushed to a Washington hospital today after becoming disoriented and having trouble with his speech, but later his office said he did not have a stroke or a heart attack.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. That's a relief not only to Johnson's friends and family, but to his party. All afternoon there was fear among Democrats that Johnson might not be able to serve in the new Senate, might not even survive, and then the Republican governor of South Dakota would get to appoint a replacement, which would have meant 50 Republicans. And senators, so the Democrats would not control both houses of Congress.
But what is wrong with the senator? Press Secretary Julianne Fisher left this message on her answering machine.
Senator Johnson continues to undergo testing and procedures at George Washington University Hospital in Washington, D.C. We expect to have more information in the morning.
Johnson.
There will not be another statement put out until the morning.
Johnson is about to turn 60. President Bush met for 2 hours today with the Pentagon's civilian and military leaders, but offered no hint of what he's planning for Iraq.
Declaring that he won't be rushed into a new strategy on Iraq, President Bush says delaying his announcement until after New Year's is giving him time to hear more ideas and opinions, not all of them worthwhile.
I've heard some ideas that would lead to defeat, and I reject those ideas. Ideas such as leaving before the job is done.
But his talks at the Pentagon, he says, were fascinating, and he was emphatic in stating that he won't give up in Iraq and risk that extremists might take control there. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The spacecraft mechanics aboard Shuttle Discovery had a problem today, and that means they have more work to do. A live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Now, the Discovery and space station crews have been wrestling with two solar power wings that just didn't fold up all the way like they were supposed to. Mission Control astronaut Steve Robinson says it'll take a spacewalk to fix.
Now, this would be done no earlier than EVA 3. But it could also be EVA 4 or a stage EVA.
That means the space station crew might do it after the shuttle leaves. The panels were retracted far enough to make way for a newer set. Tomorrow's spacewalk to start rerouting the station's power path will go on as planned. Bill?
Federal health investigators now think lettuce.